What
just thinking,
the
just
thinking. Fuck was that?
Okay, I'm just... No, it's fine. Hey, check this out. What? What's this? Is that what you're saying?
What the fuck was that?
What the fuck is that?
What the fuck was that?
That is this. Look at this thing.
This is what?
It's our new Crespo Theso Randomizer 10K.
Dude.
Look at this thing. I know it's weird looking.
But oddly beautiful at the same time.
Beautiful. It's ugly and beautiful. It's like the Predator. It's one ugly, beautiful motherfucker.
It really is.
It really is. It's got a... So, I mean, I told a guy. I found a guy on Craigslist. He has a PhD.
A Craigslist PhD. We've discussed this, Chris. I do not believe he's a real doctor of anything.
He showed me his PhD. He brought it with him. It was in his wallet. He got it. He has it in the card.
I was about to say, when you said...
He put it on his business card. It says PhD on his business card.
When you said he handed me a business card
and then wrote PhD with Sharpie on the back of it.
Are you sure that wasn't his penis?
He showed me his penis. And then he was like, here is your order. And I was like, here is $1,000, or just the second half of the payment for the other $1,000. I know, but look at this thing, though. See, so here's our movie randomizer thing. There's all that kind of stuff, you know, and it's going to tell us Amazon, Hulu, Netflix, Crackle, Tubi, Pluto, up to the mini, no longer having to do justwatch.com. You don't have to check nothing.
All I can just press a button.
Press a button. It's going to reach out to the internet, find exactly what's available now on what services, tell us exactly. It's going to be so all-encompassing. It's amazing. People are going to love this thing. But...
Whatever you say, Donald.
This guy added
It's amazing. Other... Everybody's going to love it.
Yeah, it's huge. It's going to be huge. But there's other stuff on here. I don't know what these other buttons do. I have no idea what these buttons do.
They're not labeled?
They kind of are. There's like symbols on them. What does the symbol look like to you? That doesn't
look like anything to me.
It sort of looks like a squiggly...
I mean, it's squiggly lines and dots.
It's a bunch of... I know, but I think there's like... I think there's a pattern to the squiggly lines and dots between the buttons, but I'm not sure which one does what.
I am not very good with patterns, Chris.
Alright, so let's see.
I'm awful with puzzles.
This one seems to be some sort of like...
Is there a red one? I know not to touch the red one.
The red one is underneath a glass case they have to flip up.
The red one we don't...
Any button that requires like a second step to access, never touch that button.
You're not supposed to touch that button.
Don't touch that button.
Bad things will happen.
But it does have this other button here that's like the squiggly lines are sort of, they're like sort of intersecting with each other. And then like there's arrows going backwards and forwards.
I don't
know what this is.
I have no idea.
But I think in order to find out, we should start pressing buttons.
I mean, if the only press the pretty buttons. Don't press the ugly ones.
Well, the prettiest one is the one with the squiggly lines.
Well, then press the pretty button.
Just press it.
What's the worst that could happen?
Let's find out.
A PFT Media production.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
All right, break up the big bang, speed X-Zone to each other. Read more books and Freedom Mia Abu-Jamal. We are out of here. Juice Cogburn, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, sir.
Curtis, sir, thank you, sir. That was wonderful. Thank you so much for everything.
It's always a great time.
That was amazing. We love the song you gave for us. Your guys' trivia battle was incredible. It was always a fantastic time having you here, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll see you at the 3,000th.
3,000th, yes. Can't wait. 3,000 times 10.
You will not see me for that.
But Drew won't be. No,
I will not be here.
Drew will be long gone for sure. Mm-hmm. I might be here, but Drew will not. No. All right, here we go. Curtis, box or bag? What are you going to do? Box or bag?
I did box last time. I'm doing bag this time.
All right, Drew, break out that bag. What we got inside?
Sir, inside you get to go home with a Jurassic World Matchbox toy.
Yeah.
It's just a truck. It doesn't even have any Jurassic World logos on it. It's actually
But it's a truck that's used in the movie, though.
How can you even tell this was from...
You cue up the scene in the movie, and then you hold up the truck next to the scene, and you say, look, it's the same one.
Poorly designed toys, all I'm saying.
Look, I need a truck for my collection.
We've also got a Street Fighter Nano Metal Fig. It's Ryu.
Ryu! Yeah, Curtis, huge Street Fighter fan.
We've got a copy of... A Chris Benicio bootleg copy of Behind Enemy Lines from 2001.
Sorry,
runtime,
Owen
1
Wilson,
hour and 45 minutes.
Gene Hackman.
I have not seen that one. I'm looking forward to it.
It's
all right.
It's a Hackman.
It's all right.
Yeah, action movie.
Oh, we got a egg-shaped splat ball. Toss it. Watch it splat.
There you go. Splat that thing
on the
truck.
Is it edible?
No.
I like the edibles.
I mean, it's probably not toxic.
No, it's definitely toxic. Definitely not edible.
It says on there definitely toxic.
I mean, made in China.
Made in China, definitely toxic. That's what it says on the bag right there.
Warning, may stain rubber, painted walls, fabrics, wallpaper, or wood surfaces.
So throw it on nothing.
Keep away from heat.
Do not taunt the splat ball.
Do not don't taunt it. Don't look at it. Don't use it.
Do not pull on ball when stuck to surface or ball may tear.
Oh my God.
That sounds familiar.
You got a magnet that says, I pooped today.
Yeah. All right, Kurt.
There's also a Donruss 82 Bill Gullickson Expos card.
Come on.
Montreal.
Yep.
In the house.
In great quality, too. Great condition.
And a Crespo Diso sticker.
Yeah, a Crespo Diso sticker. There you go. That's the green bag. That's your green bag. All right.
I don't know. I told you, but it's your stickers that are keeping my shed together.
Well, I mean, I'm sure.
After the hurricane.
High quality stickers we got there.
We got some new ones coming of the new logo. People can see the new logo on our Instagram. Instagram.com/cinema. Crespediso!
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the Lightning Round. Game over.
Here we go. I have a lightning round. I need 10 questions. I have 10 questions. I need 10 answers. I got that backwards. Drew Cogburn. End the clock.
Stop!
Number 10. Do nice guys finish first, last, or not at all?
Last.
Number 9, should we stop what we are doing?
No.
Number 8, have we made a grave mistake?
Not yet.
Number 7, will anything ever be the same?
It will.
Number 6, spinach or kale?
Spinach.
Number 5, Indiana Jones or Smokey Bones?
Indiana Jones.
Number 4. Or is this just fantasy?
It is.
Number 3, is this the real life?
It's the real life.
Number 2, can we all agree this is the wrong way to do this?
No.
And number 1, do you remember you've got mail?
I do.
All right.
You've got mail.
Netflix is making a Chronicles of Narnia series.
Excuse me?
That's right. They got the rights to the entire Chronicles of Narnia series. Now, I did not notice. Walden Media Company. They're the ones who have made all the Chronicles movies that have been made so far. I think they've made
three
of them.
Three.
Yeah.
Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yep.
Something else.
The Prince Caspian was the third one.
And then they had some weird name after a boat. The Something Runner.
The Voyager. The Dawn Voyager.
Something like that,
Something the Dawn Voyager. I read all the books, but I also read them when I was like 7.
Right.
The Netflix, the company that had them before, Walden Media, they were buying the rights, like, book at a time, apparently. They didn't have the rights to the whole series, so they were just, I guess, to save money to see how it went. They were going book at a time, and they were planning on making The Silver Chair. I think there still is plans to make the next book, the fourth book, The Silver Chair. They're still trying to make it. It better have a frog stomp on the soundtrack. Thank you very much. Oh, I got one of those.
Is that where the band got them?
It's possible.
Silver Chair?
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it.
What other reference is Silver Chair?
I don't know.
It's like Ultimate Fantasy C.S. Lewis type stuff. So, Netflix got the rights to the whole series, all 7 or 8 books. I think 7 books. And they're making a series.
They're just going to stomp it out.
A Netflix series. Christian-themed sci-fi fantasy.
I thought you were going to say Christian Slater is starring.
Christian Slater will be the voice of Aslan.
I'm totally cool with that.
Which is totally fine. So if you want, like, not Jack Nicholson... Godwin versus the world, here we go. Time for some trivia. Episode 300, Juicy Cogburn. So far this year, you have a record of 23-13.
Not bad.
36 up.
I beat Curtis once.
23 down. Kurt was one of them?
A very long time. No, I'm not sure if it was this year, but once in my life, I beat Curtis Earth with trivia.
I think we've met 4 times.
We have, and you beat me 3 out of the 4.
All right, well, this one's going to be an interesting one if I can just find the game. Here we go.
But at least I don't have a losing record. I mean, I do have a losing record, but I beat Curtis with once. I can say that.
That says something.
I can say that. I've done that.
So this I envy you.
This is how we're doing this. I have 10.
Yeah, but when's the last time you beat Curtis Earth?
No, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
My right hand is broken. I don't know if you noticed.
One of the last times you were... Yeah, his hand is broken. One of the last times... There you go. He was him here with Simon. Simon was sitting in your chair.
No.
And had them go head-to-head. That was That was a battle.
Wasn't that with Paul the Legend? Trivia Legend Paul?
That was in on the Simon Time Trivia Show.
Oh, that's right. I'm getting podcasts mixed up. Sorry.
Yeah, right. It's really easy. There was a lot of podcasts happen here.
As a matter of fact, that was in the same room. It's like two-thirds the same people. We're talking about trivia. It's very reasonable to make that mistake.
I said corrected.
All right, here we go. So we're doing straight-up trivia, head-to-head, buzz-in. You're with your name to answer. All right, okay. I have 10 questions. Okay. And if you get buzz it wrong... You're not penalized.
Oh, that's okay. Interesting.
Not being penalized if you get it wrong, but you only get one guess.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Number one, what 1997 movie features Nicolas Cage? John Cusack.
Drew. Con Air.
That is correct.
Oh, that was good, Drew.
Number two. Oh, I forgot to mention. This is 90s movie trivia.
Oh.
Pop you out a little bit.
Okay.
Get in your headspace. Okay. Okay. 90s movies. Think 90s movies, okay? Number two. What year was Forrest Gump released?
Drew. 1994.
That is correct.
Holy shit.
What?
Tony's 23 and 13 for a reason, Curtis.
Yeah.
Number three. Which 1992 film has the best-selling soundtrack?
Curtis. The Bodyguard.
That is correct.
Damn it.
Well done, Curtis. Number four. In 1992, same year, The Bodyguard was the number two movie of the year. What was number one?
Drew.
Jurassic
Park.
Incorrect.
I'm going to say... I don't know.
All right. But, there's no penalization. You can take it 1992. You don't even take a guess. Here we go. 5, 4, 3.
I will say 4. I don't know.
No, Aladdin.
I would have never guessed Aladdin.
Yeah, neither would I.
Jurassic Park was 1993.
I would have embarrassed myself with whatever I said.
It would have been fine. We get it.
I get wrong answers all the time.
As long as you get a 90s movie, I'd be like, okay. If you're like Lawrence of Arabia, like, you're not paying attention to the game. Number 5. Sticking with 1992. What 1992 film features the songs My Guy, parentheses, My God, and I Will Follow Him? What 1992 film features the songs My Guy, My God, and I Will Follow Him?
Curtis? Dirty Dancing?
Incorrect. True, making funny faces, thinking hard. Give me 5, 4.
I got nothing.
Sister Act. My Guy, My Guy.
I will follow him. I was thinking like a 60s type of thing.
Exactly. They were like throwbacky songs, right? But they revamped the lyrics. Number 6. Name 2 of the 3 songs sung by Aerosmith in the movie Armageddon. Number 6. You have to name 2 of the 3 songs sung by Aerosmith in Armageddon.
Curtis.
2. Yes, there are 3 songs there. I want you to name 2 of them.
Don't want to miss a thing.
Okay.
That's the only one I can think of. I can't think of a single in their Aerosmith.
Back in the Saddle?
Incorrect.
Correct.
True. No. I don't want to miss a thing is correct.
Yeah, that's the one.
They also did Sweet Emotion.
I knew it was one of their older ones.
And What Kind of Love Are You On? That's the one everyone forgets.
I don't even know that one's
the one everyone forgets. Number 7, James Woods voiced the villain for which 1997 animated movie? This question's for Simon Time.
Drew. Hercules.
Correct. Amundo. He was Hades in the movie Hercules. Number 8.
I've never even seen that movie in full, and somehow I knew that.
Somehow you knew that. Because you're James Woods savant. People don't know that. You maintain apparently. The James Woods Wikipedia. People don't know that. Number 8, how many people were killed in the 1996 movie Scream? I'll give you a hint.
Drew.
Oh, okay.
8.
No, incorrect. Do you want that hint?
I want that hint. Thank you.
It's less than 10.
I'm going to say...
It's so funny.
I'm going to say... 9.
7.
I was going to go with 7. I swear to God I was going to go with 7.
You should have gone with it, Kurt Curtis. You should have gone.
I swear to God I was going to go with 7.
Okay, here we go. Number 9. A quote. This... All right, this is a quote from the highest grossing film of 1990. Name the movie. Molly, you in danger, girl. That was a quote from the highest grossing film of 1990. Name the movie. A character says, Molly, you in danger, girl.
Son of a biscuit. Molly, you in danger, girl.
What would that be, an English muffin? Son of a biscuit?
Son of a biscuit, yeah. Son of a biscuit, son of a biscuit and a scone is an English muffin. Mm. I need answers, guys. 5, 4. Anyone take a guess? 3, 2.
Drew, Thelma and Louise.
Oh, so close, but incorrect.
My cousin Vinny.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, guys. Making her second appearance in the trivia game, Whoopi Goldberg with Ghost. That's from the movie Ghost. Highest grossing film in 1990 was Ghost.
I should have went with my instincts.
You always go with your instincts. Your instincts are always correct. Number 10. What is the name of Will Smith's character in Independence Day? Very hard question, yes. I did purposely make this easy to hard.
Drew. Will Smith.
Incorrect.
Bernard Futterman.
That's also incorrect. Captain Stephen Hiller is his name. Drew Sick Coburn with the win.
Yeah!
Getting 3 right to Curtis's 1 correct.
Yeah! We both sucked that up, Kurt.
Yeah, but I really sucked.
That was awful.
I want to just tell you that I applaud you. You deserve your due diligence of honor today.
Yes, I do. I do. I beat Curtis for a second time today. Today's a good day.
A lot of fun. Drew's feeling pumped. Feeling good.
Pumped.
Okay.
Can't wait for the rest of the episode.
So Jon Favreau is producing 4. Speaking of, Netflix, they lost all that Disney stuff.
The Mandalorian.
Disney is doing the Disney Pay Play service, which is their pay streaming service, and Jon Favreau is producing The Mandalorian, as Drew says, which is their Star Wars series that's going to focus on the people that they use and they clone for Boba Fett. It's essentially like a Boba Fett series, although they haven't confirmed whether or not it's that character.
Well, I mean...
Probably won't be.
Boba Fett is just a clone. So, I mean, it'd be... I think a more fun story would be like you said, like go.
The other story I had. Someone finds the armor.
That one too, but I think this is another good traction for the story where, like, they're going back to where they got the ideas for their clones. Like, these motherfuckers must have been some badass motherfuckers in order for them to be cloned for an entire army.
Exactly. So who are these Mandalorians? We're going to find out about them. They announced the list of directors doing them. The person directing the final episode is Taika Waititi. A lot of fun. Which, guy did Hunt for the Wilder People. Did you ever see that one?
No.
Well, you'll love that.
Here's the thing. It kind of makes sense because the actor that they used for Jango Fett.
Yep.
In the original ones.
Yep.
Maori guy, he plays Jason Momoa's dad in the new...
Aquaman.
So it would make sense that maybe Taika Waititi is trying to bring some of that Maori influence into the Mandalorian character.
Oh, very cool. So that's what... Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So that's what's going on there. So we have a whole Star Wars series already shaping up there under Jon Favreau's tutelage. Meanwhile, the Game of Thrones guys, they're making a Star Wars show as well.
Which could be...
Yeah, so who knows what they're going to do.
Somebody made a fan fiction film of, like, modern Game of Thrones. And it made me immediately think, like, future Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's future Thrones.
Yeah.
But it's a long... Galaxy a long time ago.
Yes. Far away.
In a time far, far away.
But it's still the future.
Do you like the Star Wars stuff enough to want to now subscribe to Disney as well? A whole new service just for the Star Wars stuff? Either of you guys?
No. Here's the thing, Chris.
I'm so sick of it already.
I am sick of it, but this is going to do something with the Star Wars universe that I always thought should be done.
I guess.
Instead of just keeping it pigeonholed with this
the tiny corner of the galaxy.
The story of the Skywalkers. We're basically following one family.
Yeah.
Let's expand the universe. Let other people play in this sandbox.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
You know, it'd give us more fun and interesting stories. Mm-hmm. We would be able to get, you know, let's say one day Darren Aronofsky is like, you know what, I want to make a Star Wars movie.
Sure, yeah.
We could get Darren Aronofsky's crazy Star Wars movie set in the Star Wars universe.
Well, as long as Disney continues the tradition of just allowing more white men to continue making these movies and series, then I'm all on board, because that's...
It's pretty much what's going
on. With Favreau and the Game of Thrones dudes and the J.J. Abrams and Ryan Johnson and Colin Trevorrow and the white guys and the white guys. Mm-hmm. Speaking of white guys, Rosie Perez, remember?
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah, Rosie Perez.
She's pretty hot.
Whew, was.
My goodness. She's holding up. Come on.
I don't know about that.
Come on. She's like 50, Drew. Goodness gracious.
You were going to say 80.
What an... She's like 85 years old. She looks great for an 85-year-old man. This guy's an ageist. So
she looks great for an 85-year-old man?
She looks great for an 85. She looks wonderful for an 85-year-old
That's
man.
That's weird.
She looks fantastic for an 85-year-old
That's really
man.
Weird.
She's octogenarian hot.
Yes. And she has been cast, Drew, in that Birds of Prey movie.
Oh, nice.
So, DC, they don't know what they're doing over there. They're spinning their wheels and just cranking out
trying
weird
to catch
movies.
Up.
They're trying so hard to catch up with that Marvel machine, which is now being funded by Disney, so they're in the dust forever.
Mm-hmm.
And but they're making some interesting decisions. One of them is this Birds of Prey movie. So it's a movie that will take place in Gotham City, but with no Batman. And instead, it will be Harley Quinn, breakout character in movie-wise from Suicide Squad, played by the same actress, Margot Robbie. They got a Mary Elizabeth Winstead playing a character called, what's her name, Drew Huntress? Is that right?
Huntress,
you know,
yes.
I don't know.
I'm vaguely familiar. She's basically, she is a chick vigilante who...
A chick-a-lante.
Who rides who rides a motorcycle and is, like, funded by Batman, basically. Like, she's not part of, like... She's part of the Batman universe.
Yeah.
And she's kind of, like, a side character, but, like... She does her own thing, but like gets help from Batman.
Yeah,
so I'm pretty sure funding.
Okay,
know,
and then
from the billionaire.
And then there's a character called Black Canary.
Same type of deal.
That is not an imposing name.
Yeah, it's like Black Canary. Ooh, Canary.
Yeah.
And then it's a black. It is a black chick. Journey Smollett Bell. She's a TV actress.
But I mean, come on, Batman and Robin. Are you really afraid of a boy in green tights?
Or are you afraid of a Robin?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. I never thought of it. Really.
Now the reason I brought up Rosie Perez is because she got cast as Detective Renee Montoya on this movie. So she will be their, I guess, police liaison. Their Commissioner Gordon
their Commissioner
type
Gordon.
Of character.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. I'm digging the cast.
The person who brings legitimacy to their vigilante crime fighting.
Now, this is interesting. There you go. And I did not notice Renee Montoya, this character, is a character that actually originated, like one of my favorite Batman villains, Clayface. It's a character that originated on the Batman the Animated Series, the 90s
love
TV
that
show. Yeah. Yes. The music is 50% of what makes the show so good. The music is
just off the chain.
Classic, great, beautiful, orchestral, grandiose music for a cartoon. Kurt, you would love it. Just listen to the Batman.
I'm loving watching YouTube geek out right here.
It's so good.
Seriously, it is... It quite possibly might be like one of the greatest cartoons of all time. I mean, and that is like critically acclaimed. Like,
yeah, and they only did a few seasons of it.
Yeah,
it's a pretty short-lived show,
and it was fantastic.
Only short-lived, not because it wasn't popular, but because the people who were making the show, like, we were kind of out of stories. Like, we don't want to force the issue. We'll do something else, and they end up doing Superman, which wasn't as good.
No,
and so Clayface started on that show, and this Detective Renee Montoya started on the cartoon. It was so popular, so well received that then they just moved it over to the written stuff into the comic book form, and the characters have continued to live on, which is interesting.
I mean, Mark Hamill did the voice for Joker in that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I do remember that.
When people talk about Mark Hamill as Joker, it's from that show.
Yep. What an interesting person to pick for a villain voice.
Great voice, man, and like he's not a big fan of acting, like being in front of the camera.
Really?
Yeah.
He does a lot of voice work.
Does a ton of voice work.
Seriously, if you look on his IMDb, the majority of his quote unquote acting is all voice work.
But he has popped up a couple of times on the CW series The Flash. as a villain called the Trickster, where he's essentially doing his Joker voice. He's like, yeah.
Okay.
It's fun. But he's like dressed all weird and overacting, and he's getting paid and having a good time.
Over
like,
the top stuff.
So yeah, it's like, ah, good for you, buddy. Good for you. Let's finish up those emails, Drew. Okay. Let's finish them up. Last email.
All right. We've got a Star is Born and Venom review from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
A Star is Born.
Star is Born.
The first hour of this film is a 4-star banger. The story is heartfelt and resonant with excellent performances.
4-star banger alarm.
Leads, and sizzling chemistry, and Cooper's direction is deft, and the songs are spectacular if you're into that shit like me. Mm-hmm. And then it all builds up to a glorious crescendo scene where Cooper urges Gaga onto the stage and they sing her song in front of a huge crowd, and the goosebumps are bumping like they never bumped before. It was exhilarating. Fade to black. Perfect movie.
That's a Lady Gaga.
Oscars for everyone. Yeah. But
what?
Then it fucking goes on for another 90 minutes. The rest of it is a slog of forced melodrama and Cooper overdoing little stuff that worked so well in the first hour. I almost fell asleep a lot. This movie is 30 minutes too long and has too many ancillary characters. Why is Dave Chappelle in this? Why is Sam Elliott in this? And why is Andrew Dice Clay in this? He's actually kind of good, but still, why? I'm glad I saw it, but I'm also happy to never see it again. Though I'll probably hit up YouTube every now and then just to watch Cooper and Gaga sing, because those scenes and those songs are really great. 2.5 stars.
So he liked the first half a lot, the second half not so much, obviously liking the whole thing a lot less than us as compared to our review that we already gave in the first half of the show.
I do agree with the whole first hour of the movie, Gaga on stage and he sing Goosebumps like I've never, I felt those goosebumps.
Cause so you saw the movie.
It got me.
You saw the movie.
Yeah, yes. Remember when we talked about it in the first half of the show?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's right. So yeah, exactly. We went over pretty quickly though because it was our spoiler-free review. As everyone knows by now, they got to get our spoiler review elsewhere. But Scott, all right, Scott, you know, he didn't like it as much, but I'm telling you, we're going to be hearing about this movie when it comes to the Oscars.
I'm looking forward to seeing the movie. I like Sam Elliott. The guy needed an older brother, Sam Elliott would be great for that.
And Bradley Cooper straight up his voice.
He's doing a Sam Elliott impression. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
It is.
It's good stuff. Yeah, you gotta, yeah. I'm telling you, Kurt, you're going to like that movie. Definitely check it out.
And Venom.
And his Venom review, Curtis, like I said earlier, do not check this out. Do not want to see this
one. It shan't be checked out.
My expectations were so low, so I guess the fact that I didn't hate this is kind of good, but damn, this could have been so much better. I know nothing about the Venom comics, but even I was able to nitpick the flaws and still see the vast potential that was sorely wasted
on
this movie.
That's not good.
From the very first action sequence...
Like, I know nothing about the character, and I know where you fucked up. Like, oh boy, that's not good.
From the very first action sequence, not even Venom, but the other symbiote, I knew this should have been a hard R, violent, bloody movie.
These symbiotes
are vicious creatures and should be allowed to be what they are. I also like the banter that grew between Brock and Venom. Venom has jokes. This could have been hilarious, but he's hamstrung by PG-13, and then one legally admissible fuck was uttered on screen. I sat in my seat and muttered under my breath, "Welp, there it is." The villain is pretty weak. Shame to see Riz Ahmed's talent wasted on such a flat character. Same for Michelle Williams. I mean, what the fuck is she even doing here?
Yeah, why?
One note about the climactic battle sequence. Yes, of course, it's devolved into a typically unsatisfying CGI mess of action. However, there were a few slow motion clips that I thought were absolutely gorgeous. I won't spoil what was happening, but if you saw the movie and think you know the shots I'm talking about, I haven't seen anything this CGI pretty since those glorious shots from Ragnarok. There's only two here, and they're quite brief, but they are noteworthy. This is not a great comic book movie, and I certainly didn't expect to ever say this, but I kind of want more of this Venom. Too bad Hardy probably soured to the idea. So much potential lost. 2.5 stars. Take care, Scott.
Yeah, Scott. Wow, really echoing us a lot on our Venom review there. Just not a good movie, man.
I think
wasted potential is like the key. That's the key phrase there. Wasted potential.
I think he liked it a little bit more than we did.
Possibly. I think he liked it almost as much as I did. Definitely more than you, Drew, did.
I didn't like the movie.
But like, we already went over all that in the first half of the show there in the box office recap.
We got an email from Ron.
Ron is our homie out in LA. We love Ron. What's up, Ron?
Entitled Yo Boys.
Whoa. Is that what a Z?
Oh, just wait. Hey.
It's not a boys, what a Z?
No. Okay. Hey, sexy, studly, sensual, semi-erect boys.
What?
Happy 300. I am super excited for y'all and ready to support you any way I can. I tried to see A Star is Born, but a fire alarm, so I got to Sam Elliott hotel monologue, then I exiled them back to fuck with some dad ass. But when I saw it, I enjoyed. I didn't even know it was a remake till you said it last week. Yeah. Like y'all, the marketing got me. I might see Venom today just to see Tom Hardy's ass make out with a monster. Oh, so many fanfic coming true. It is glorious. Once again, I treasure you too deeply for helping my mind and soul through many a tribulation. Aww. Also, to my Twitter crew. Crespo Dome Battles. We got three of them, Chris.
Oh, well, here we go. Crespo Dome Battles.
Sam Elliott versus Clint Eastwood.
Okay, well, who is the better actor? In a Crespo Dome Battle, for people who don't remember, we get two people enter, one person leaves. First, who's the better actor, then who wins in a fight? Sam Elliott, Clint Eastwood. Who's the better actor? Curtis, go.
I'm going to go with Clint Eastwood on both. Yeah, but Clint Eastwood.
Better actor. And will win in a fight. Yeah. This is present day right now. We threw both men in a dome right now.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Eastwood. Clint Eastwood's got grit.
He's older.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. Drew, actor and fighter.
I'm going to split the difference. I'm going to go with Clint Eastwood as the actor, obviously.
Okay.
I mean, Sam Elliott's great, but yeah. He's not Clint Eastwood. That's right. In a fight, though, I think Sam Elliott's got the... Clint Eastwood is a very, very
he's like
old man.
But he's got those Zen pressure points that kill you. He knows
how to
tell
you what, though.
He learned that stuff in the 70s. That's so long ago.
At this point in time, I'm pretty sure if Clint Eastwood even got touched in the wrong spot, he would shatter.
He would crumble.
Yeah.
Like an old man.
I'm telling Clint Eastwood what you said.
No, please don't. I'll get Sam Elliott to beat him up because... It's funny you guys are like so pleased with such a better actor. Yeah. I find him almost equal in terms of acting. So just for a devil's advocate, I'm going to say Sam Elliott because he's got the voice. Clint Eastwood has the squints. Sam Elliott has the mustache. Yeah, I'm going Sam Elliott. In a fight, Sam Elliott. Yeah. I think Clint Eastwood's a little too old.
Yeah.
I think he's a little... I mean, Elliott, he took a punch in this movie.
Or a
stuntman who looked like him took a punch.
What was one of Sam Elliott's... most dramatic roles that you were like, oh, this guy's a thespian.
This guy's
thespian.
What was one for Clint Eastwood that makes you think that he is a thespian's thespian?
I don't think he's not a thespian. He's just Clint Eastwood is so iconic in American cinematic culture that
but so is John.
All right, Million Dollar Baby. Play Misty for me.
That was like 30 years ago. I'll give Tombstone.
Are we talking about their breath of work?
I mean, Sam Elliott was great in Tombstone.
Tombstone, we got
He was great in
Big Lebowski.
In the Big Lebowski. Right. He was good in this movie that we just watched.
He's great in this movie that we just watched.
We just saw that.
But Thunderbolt Ross in the original Hulk.
But then again, I mean, there's a... Clint Eastwood's about to come out in that movie Mule that looks actually not so bad.
That's another one of his movies.
Yeah.
That's how he makes movies. He just
Bridges of Madison County.
Bridges, hey, they're pretty good. I'm still going to say he's going to knock that old man's ass out with one punch, Sam Elliott. You said we got three of them?
Yep.
All right, what's number
two? If Clint Eastwood was just a head, he would still beat up.
Wow. Oh, entire Sam Elliott?
Entire Sam Elliott.
Right. Lady Gaga versus Jennifer Hudson. I don't know who Jennifer Hudson is.
Jennifer Hudson from Dreamgirls. She was a finalist on
American Idol.
She did a NutriSlim or one of them lose weight. Like her entire family was murdered in an SUV one day. It was a blood sacrifice to the Illuminati.
She oversang... songs at Aretha Franklin's funeral recently.
Something like that.
Yeah. I don't know anything about her.
Okay. Who would be a better actor, Lady Gaga or Jennifer Hudson?
I don't know who Jennifer Hudson is, I'm going with Lady Gaga.
All right, Chris.
I'll go with Lady Gaga.
I'm going with Hudson because I'm pretty sure she won Best Supporting Actress for Dreamgirls.
She won an Oscar.
I think she did. So I'm going with her. Plus, man, she can sing her ass off, that song. And I'm telling you, who would win in a fight? Jennifer Hudson or Lady Gaga? I'm gonna go with Hudson.
Me too.
Hudson.
Yeah.
I don't think Lady Gaga can throw a punch.
She looks small.
Yeah.
You can tell in this movie too.
She's a tiny girl.
She's one of these superstars that's teeny tiny when you meet them. You're like, oh yeah, I can put you in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Next round. Final round. Fight.
Armie Hammer versus Jon Hamm in the Battle of the Huge Cock and Balls.
Alright, yeah. So Jon Hamm has a huge ham. And Armie Hammer...
His nuts are so big that they got CGI'd out of a movie.
They had to get CG'd out of a movie.
Not joking.
They were dipping out of his short shorts. And Call Me By Your Name.
We are dead serious about that. No, this is...
You guys know entirely
this
too
is
much.
Truth.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. That's true.
This is
true.
That's
very true. Okay, who would want to fight Armie Hammer or Jon Hamm?
Armie Hammer. Armie Hammer is a fucking giant.
Yeah, Armie Hammer's a big guy.
I'll go with Armie Hammer.
Winklevoss twins and all that. Just remember him rowing and all that. How big he is.
Yeah.
I mean, I just saw him in
Lone Ranger.
He was just in
The Man from Uncle.
Man from Uncle.
He was Ilya Kudiaki, whatever that character's name is.
He's easily got 6 inches on
Mr. Hamm, who must be 5'11", 6 feet tall.
Yeah. I was about to say Armie Hammer's at least 6'5", 6'6".
So I almost say Ham's a better actor, but Hammer is going to win in a fight.
Oh, yeah, Hammer's going to win in a fight, definitely.
Ham versus Hammer.
That's yeah, Armie Hammer's not the greatest actor.
He's okay. Yeah. He's got a lot of charm.
He does, but he's very flat and...
He can be flat.
Here's the thing.
Oh, you just watched Man from U.N.C.L.E. That was his flattest performance.
Well, but here's the thing also. I don't need another bland white guy.
He is so bland.
And he's so white.
And so white. So handsomely white. I mean, he's just like... He's the epitome.
A dreamboat.
It's like when you want to make that Aryan poster and put them up in public squares everywhere.
Right. When you're putting your money up for the Aryan race to restart...
Armie Hammer.
You're gonna, Armie Hammer. Man of the High Castle jerks off the pictures of Armie Hammer.
Specimen A.
Better actor, go. Ham or Hammer?
I'm going to go with Hammer.
And better... Who are we going to fight?
Hammer.
All right, there we go. Hammer don't hurt him. Thank you.
But Clint Eastwood would beat the hell out of both of those
everyone?
Guys.
Nah, man.
Just a head.
John Hamm would take that head and... I was going to say something about his huge penis.
Just grab on an ankle and bite through the ankle and that one down.
You've seen too many Peter Jackson
his head over
movies,
to the other
man.
Guy.
Enough with
Climb
the return
up,
of the living
on his
dead.
Big ball and just bite into the ball.
They got the huge balls, man. They had to CG them out. They're so big. Is that it for Ron's email?
Yes.
Ron, we love you. Thank you so much.
We got an email from Gabe.
What's up, Gabe? Gabe is our homie.
Hey, Gabe.
Goddamn, fight in the shade.
That's a 300 reference?
Yes.
This 300. Is Sparta!
Yeah, episode 300, fight in the shade. It's exactly. Movie 300, Curtis.
Yeah.
300.
How fitting.
Very fitting, yeah. Yes. Next email.
We got an email from Jason.
What's up, Jason? The J-Man.
Hey, Crespo Diso crew.
A musician. Fellow musician.
Congrats on 300 episodes. I suspect there will be jokes about the Zack Snyder classic and hopefully a guest appearance from Curtis Earth, possibly with a new song.
What? How did he know?
How did he?
I hope he enjoyed that song that we played. Yeah, I hope he enjoyed it.
Speaking of Earth, I'm remembering back to the SBK days, delivering pizzas on Monday nights, looking forward to the Crespo segment with the movie Chain Game, the slow nights when I didn't get many deliveries and I missed it.
Aww.
Arrgh. That all ended abruptly. I somehow got word of the spinoff podcast Cinema Crespo Diso. What's that? All my favorite characters, minus Kevin, Matt, and Angel, plus a brand new character who's basically a scrawny cabin boy.
Hey, I think he's talking about you.
I'm not a scrawny cabin boy. I am way less white than cabin boy.
Much less white. Cabin's so white.
I've agreed enthusiastically over the years with your opinions on movies.
Yeah.
Yes, The Thing.
Yes.
Fuck yeah, Mother.
Yeah.
I've harumped to myself like a child scorned when we didn't agree. No examples leap to mind, but they are out there.
I'm sure, yeah, they can't agree on everything. It's impossible.
I started the podcast around 100 episodes in Christmas number 2. I would skip the musical interlude before being welcomed back to the second segment, which was fine. I would call it quits when the lightning round started. I was a very busy man.
Mm.
But then I learned to calm down, enjoy the music, listen until the end just in case there were some bloops after the credits.
Yep.
Neighbors yelling at each other, random skits or whatever the hell.
White
I even checked out most of the back catalog, and I would hope
there's
the
a lot of back catalog. Yeah. So much.
Would
so
get
much.
Uploaded obviously. On Sunday before I had to go to work so I could put it on my iPod.
Aww.
I've been a regular listener for years now. Through the talk of monetizing, the rough patch during the beginning of Trump's reign with rantings of this machine kills fascists, mm-hmm, help me make it through,
mm-hmm,
Crespo on Doug Benson's show, the advent of PFT Media,
mm-hmm,
Chris getting too drunk,
yeah.
Hashtag Crespo Hundo, mm-hmm, and the meetups which I haven't been able to get to as I've moved to Los Angeles 5 years ago.
Aww.
I know, it's no excuse. Okay, have a great 300th episode and many more. Love, Jason.
Thanks, Jason. What a nice guy. We appreciate it. He knows the show, man. He's for sure been listening. We play his, one of his songs. Remember, he did a song based on Drew said something about Candy for Satan?
Yep.
And then he wrote a whole song, Candy for Satan.
Uh-huh.
And then we played it on the
That's
show.
That's a great title for a song.
It was a great title, yeah. And he wrote a fun song. It was a lot of fun. And Drew inspired him to do it.
I did.
Scrawny Cabin Boy over here. That's his new nickname. SCB. Well, I'll just call you SCB for short.
Please don't.
Here we go, SCB. What's next?
That's it.
That's it.
That's the Vox Populi.
That's the Vox Populi. All right. That means we got to get to our boy, Billy D. Billy D's Death at the Movies. He sent us his email, and find him online at I Love Blood. And Drew, you got that email?
I do.
All right, here we go.
What is up, my dude?
What's up, Billy D?
What a bananas week.
Bananas.
I went to New York Comic Con for a couple days of cosplay portraits and good old-fashioned nerdery. Did you guys see the extended Aquaman trailer?
Yes. Yeah.
I've been holding on to some expectations with this because I actually really like James Wan movies. He's an incredibly underrated director and storyteller. The trailer shows off more of the tone and style that I think might work.
Okay, pause. The Aquaman trailer, they released a 5-minute Aquaman trailer this week.
It's an underwater sci-fi movie. That that
it's underwater.
Atlantis,
science fiction. Yeah,
could be in space
yeah.
equally.
Yeah, it's pretty much underwater sci-fi.
Yeah.
I watched part of the trailer.
I watched the whole thing.
There's a chunk in the middle where it's like a rooftop chase through yeah. by a seaside town. And it's a good chunk of it's like one take.
Yeah.
And it reminds me a lot of the best part of The Adventures of Tintin.
Tintin.
The Adventures of Tintin. Steven Spielberg's animated yes. one where there's a great like city chase. It's like a 5-7 minute one take. Seen all done animated wise, yeah. and then here's like sort of a live action version of it that's like really looks really well done. James Wan is like a pretty interesting director. It's crazy, Curtis. Did you ever see Saw, the original Saw? The first one?
No.
This guy, Australian, Japanese Australian fellow, James Wan, made Saw for like $22 and a bucket of chicken.
And a bucket of blood.
And a bucket of blood. The bucket of blood, no, yet Cary Elwes had to bring the bucket of blood with him. And it became a huge hit. They made like 50 of these things.
Right.
And he's produced them all. He's made Conjuring movies. He's made all these huge horror films.
He's gone places.
He's gone and he's been to places. And now he's making Aquaman as his biggest movie. And it's his opportunity, he said, to show people he can do more than just horror films.
All right. So I have a question about Aquaman.
I have an answer about Aquaman.
All right. So
actually, maybe I don't.
I saw the trailer for the new Aquaman, and he's kind of. Looks a lot different than the comic book character mm-hmm. from the 60s or whenever mm-hmm. he first appeared.
Or Super Friends.
Super Friends. Right. What was the origin story of the original, in the the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Aquaman in the comic books? What was the Marvel,
DC.
Right? DC. What yeah. was the DC origin story?
He's the Prince of Atlantis.
Okay.
Atlantis is real. He's an Atlantean. Done. That's
but where, where's everyone else?
They're all underneath the sea.
Okay. So he was the only one.
So there's an entire.
So Atlantis exists, and yeah. he's the prince of it.
Yes.
Royalty.
Yes.
That's it. Just, that's it. He was born into it.
Yep.
Now Atlantis used to be privilege. Above the ocean. I mean, used to be on top,
and then sunk.
And then sunk. So how did everyone get gills and become sea people?
Don't think about that.
Mythology. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure I wasn't crazy.
Mythology.
Yeah, no, it's comic books.
All right.
Yeah.
Radiation fallout. No, that's Godzilla.
Lightning hit them.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's always a good one. Science experiment went wrong. It's always a good one. Yeah. In the movie, in the trailer, they make it look like an Atlantean queen banged out a lighthouse keeper. So he's like half man, half prince. So it looks like they changed it a bit, but hey, we'll see.
All
right. Interesting trailer. All right, back to Bill's email.
I got to see Phantasm at Alamo this week.
Cool.
And I met Don Coscarelli, and it was an amazing experience.
Oh, the director of Phantasm. Very cool.
Phantasm has been one of my favorite horror movies since I was a kid,
it's a wild movie.
Never seen it on the big screen, and never like this. The 4K restoration and new audio mastering was a labor of love, done by J.J. Abrams and supervised by Coscarelli. Mm-hmm. The story is that Abrams is a fan of Phantasm and wanted to screen it at Bat Robot. Coscarelli only had a DVD and a 35mm print that had vinegar syndrome. Abrams offered the Bat Robot facilities to do the restoration for super cheap, and the mix was done on the off hours by a guy at Bat Robot because it's his favorite movie too.
Coscarelli was at the Florida Film Festival maybe 3 or 4 years ago for John Dies at the End, and he did a little speaking there. He seems like such a cool guy. It's so cool that you got to see him there for the Phantasm screen. Very cool, though.
Coscarelli seemed stunned that 40 years later and Phantasm has a new lease on life. He's also sheepishly copped to stealing from Dune and all the things you think he stole from. Ted...
Yeah, there's giant sandworms in Phantasm. He found a way to work Ted in this tiny little horror film.
Ted Gilgan moderated the Q&A, and I got to meet him, too. He's the director of one of my favorite horror movies of the last few years, We Are Still Here. Okay. Great guy, and I watched a new film, Mohawk, on Netflix at his behest. Mohawk is not what I expected in the best possible way. Every time I thought I knew where it was going, it would surprise me. This is an interesting type of genre movie because it's also a period piece. It takes place in the early 1800s and is about a Mohawk woman and her two partners versus a squad of American soldiers. I dig this framing. Making the Americans the bad guys makes it very unsettling when you hear lines like "two heroes died today" and how they are trying to spin and warp events that they just caused to their favor. Good job.
Spin doctors.
It's also a pretty badass action flick. Ted also recommended we watch a movie on Shudder called Satan's Slaves.
Satan's Slaves? Come on, that sounds ridiculous.
We did.
Great name for a band.
And it was fucking awesome.
Wow.
This Indonesian horror film is legit scary and heartwarming and hilarious. It's a great movie. Satan's Slaves is about Rini and her family. Her mother was a famous singer in Indonesia in the 70s, and after 3 years of being sick, she passes. Rini and her brothers all think that her spirit is still in the house, but that might not be all. Seriously, this movie's title probably makes more sense in Javanese, and Satan's Slaves is a poor translation, but it's a great movie. It has moments that reminded me of The Host and Poltergeist. A must-see for Halloween. Up a Stream episode coming in 1 week. Stay cool, Billy D.
Very cool. Up a Stream is Billy D's new web series. He's going to be doing an episode every other week, and it's on PFTV. So you can find it at PFTmedia.com. Right there at the top, it'll say PFTV. You click on that, and you'll be able to find the links right there. It's not only that, but the whole Billy D's postmortem, where he did his 100, like, check out these essential amazing movies, five movies at a time. We love Bill. He's the best.
Stay great.
Thank you so much.
I've heard his name since the beginning, since I've first started.
He's our homie!
Been here since the beginning. He's been here since before the beginning. Back in the beginning.
In the before times.
In the before times. Back when there was nothing.
There was Bill.
There was Bill.
Mm-hmm. Before there was butter.
There was Bill.
There was Bill.
Three hundred shows. 300 cinema crespedizos, Chris and Drew and our soaring guests. From number 300, they invited the best. Oh, 300, no one saw this coming. 300, still up and running. Cinema crespedizo, episode 300. Oh, oh, oh. Chris Crespo, he had a dream. Drewster Cogburn completed the team. Every Sunday popping out a podcast, wondering just how long can this last. You're up to 300, we're counting on you for facts about actors and movie reviews. Cinema Crespedizo, episode 300. Chris and Drew, episode 300. Cinema Crespedizo, episode 300. Oh, yeah. I'll see you at
3,000. Amazing.
That was pretty amazing. That was awesome.
Oh,
Curtis.
My God. Curtis.
That was so good.
Sir, thank you so much. All right, got it. Where's the instrumentation coming from? Who's doing all that great stuff? You're playing guitar?
Yeah, I did this all this morning. I woke up with this idea in my head.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been busy this whole week.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to do something for the 300th. Episode.
Mm-hmm.
And so this morning, it's just basically acoustic guitar,
right,
with some light drums in the back.
Yeah.
And some fumbly bass.
I heard some. I thought I heard some. Was there a horn?
Oh, there's
in there?
There's an oboe at the beginning, and a little brass thing at the beginning, and an oboe in the middle.
It's oboe in the middle. Yeah.
I'm sorry, French horn. Yeah.
Come on.
I spared no expense.
That was beautiful, Curtis.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Guy came from London.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Thank you so much for such an amazing song. Man, I hope Jason emails us and asks about a song, because he would really appreciate it. Man, I'll make that available. I'll find a way. Well, if people go to your SoundCloud, they can get it.
Yeah, it's public.
Just go to SoundCloud.com, search Curtis Earth.
That's it.
And it's right there. It's labeled 300. Man, thank you so much, Kurt.
You're welcome.
You're the best. All right. And while we're doing the plugs, that's a great way to end the plug section at SoundCloud.com, Curtis Earth. Also, any trivia gigs you want to, for the locals, you want to push right now?
Yeah, sure.
Where you want to tell them? Where you want to direct the people?
Well, actually, if they go to Curtis Earth Trivia on Facebook, you'll see where I'm at. But
yeah.
Our newest gig is on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be there tonight, in fact. From 7 to 8:30
okay.
At the Ace Cafe.
Ace Cafe, yeah.
And, you know, can I throw in a plug for my daughter, too?
Absolutely. Want,
she's
yeah.
got a musical duo, and they do really great covers.
Yeah.
And they'll be playing at the Bikes, Beans, and Bordeaux Cafe on Corinne Drive.
Yeah, sure.
On October 27th. It's a Saturday from 7 to 8:30.
That is very awesome. Nice. Wow, a proud papa over here plugging the daughter's band. It's so cool. What's the name of the group? Do you know?
It's just...
Or they just go by their names?
Yeah,
or...
Cara Fairhurst, accompanied by Riccardo Perfetti.
Okay, very, very professional. I like that. It's like, we expect to be booked in studio sessions, cruise ships.
Yep.
You know, we ain't dicking around here.
That's right.
Not trying to just play at the Haven.
Right?
You ever been there?
Yeah. I think we've all been to the Haven.
One time I walked in there, no disrespect to the Haven, but I walked in there to see a friend's band.
Yeah.
And I don't know what was sticky stuff was on the floor,
but... It was something.
My sandal actually came off.
There you go.
My flip-flop stuck to the floor. Yeah. I just kept... I was like, ugh.
You know what?
I left it off your shoes.
Yeah,
that sounds like a typical Haven story.
It's like you've experienced. I go to the Haven wearing two shoes at all times. I expect to walk out with one pair. All times. No, that is true whatsoever. I only own one pair of shoes, so I can't afford a second pair. Go to the Curtains Earth Facebook page, earthtrivia.com. It is award-winning trivia. It's the best trivia in town. You can see Curtis Earth himself do it, Simon Time do it. If you're a Rollins College student.
You can see you do it, Chris.
I do it every Tuesday at 8 p.m. It's a pretty good show.
And you're on our radio show every Thursday, the Curtis Earth Show, from 5 to 7 p.m.
Yes, WPRK. Only locals can hear it. It's not a podcast. It's
people can hear it all around the world.
That is true. But you have to listen live.
Yes, you have to listen.
Gotta listen live. Thursdays 5 to 7, WPRK.org. You can pull it up on TuneIn if people use TuneIn.
Yep.
CrossFit is available on TuneIn. But if you're here in town, they fixed the antenna.
They did. We're live on
91.5.
Very nice.
I wanted to, Kurt, when we were just on the internet, I wanted to curse so bad on the show. Come on, FCC can't hear us. What are you going to do, dude? We have free reign now. But out of respect for you, out of deference, I didn't do that. I didn't pull the trigger on that.
My grandmother is 98. She still listens.
Does she listen?
Yeah. Oh, there we go, Chris.
Does she like when I start yelling about racism and sexism?
Yeah, she doesn't mind that a bit.
Okay, good. Because I try to do that at least once per call, and, you know, just stay on brand, stay on topic. Drew, people can find you where online?
At Antihero419, two places on the internet.
Both owned by the same company.
Yep.
By the same man.
Correct.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yep.
The Facebook people that ran the news feed changed it, ran into the ground. They are now running the Instagram.
Oh, nice. They're going to run that into the ground, too.
So there you go.
Good for them.
A lot of fun. Cinema Crest Miso is the Instagram page, and we debuted our new logo. Have you seen our new logo, Chris?
No, let me check it out.
Let me go ahead and pull it up right here. Designed by Drew Sicogren. It is a one-to-one ripoff of the Tommy Tang's Thai restaurant, popular Thai restaurant in the 80s in Los Angeles. This guy, Tommy Tang, credited with bringing Thai food to America.
Oh, wow.
And he has an amazing logo that's like a pink triangle with his name in cursive in the middle. Tommy Tang's at an angle. We just straightened that triangle. Miami Viced it up. There we go. Look at that logo.
Nice.
That is very cool.
I'm
super happy with it. Thank you, Drew. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Blatant copyright infringement.
Not really. Not that blatant. It's not like the CC Coco Chanel. That's a blatant copyright one.
Or the CCDC logo.
That's a pretty blatant.
Straight and black.
But you guys kept the same Miami Vice coloring, which I like.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, as you did with your old.
That's me.
Yeah, we're trying to keep that going for sure. So these stickers have been ordered for this new logo. So people, if you want the new stickers, just email us and cinemacrespiso@gmail.com, and we'll send them to you. And then also big news. Patreon is a thing. I've just been told a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I've just been made aware of this very recently.
It exists. It happens
that people are able to get paid for this content. I was like, oh, really? I mean, we've been doing this for free for years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not only is this episode 300, but we've also done over 200 bonus episodes of various topics
and quality,
that's for sure.
Yeah,
definitely phoned in a couple of those bonus ones because they were just bonus ones. Screw it, yeah, it's all free anyway. But I mean, come on, I've been using started the show January 2013. We have now done almost 600 episodes total. Curtis, the only thing that that's been replaced here are like some cables and then this sound card. I swapped that out for a new one exactly the same, but I've been using the same board, the same computer. This computer was 4 years old when I started the show. I've been using the same. This was thrown in by SBK. One of these mics was... I've been using
all the same stuff.
Equipment. Nothing's been upgraded. And we've been cranking out content week after week after week. And really just come to a point where it's break or bust. We gotta do something. If the show is going to continue, then something's got to be done about it. So, that being said... Cinema Crespediso bonus episodes are now on a Patreon. Not the old ones. All the old ones are still
free.
I'm not going to charge for old content. That's
bullshit.
That's dumb. That's stupid.
But there is value in those old episodes.
There is, but...
They're entertaining.
There is, but they're out there for free already. If something's already out there for free, I'm not going to then yank it down and then charge people. And there are other shows that I've done that, other like bigger shows, and I get annoyed when that happens. I'm like, why would you do that? You already gave it to me for free. Now you're going to make me charge me now that it's old. Now that it's like three years old.
Now that it's old, recharge.
Ridiculous. So all that
stuff. It's fine. It's prime aged, Chris.
Prime aged, just like beef or wine or Bridget Nielsen.
Correct.
And Brand new mother.
There's a reference for the kids.
Yeah, I mean, she just had a kid. She just had a kid. A reference for her own kid.
She just had a kid?
She just had a kid.
She's got to be in her 60s.
55, mid-50s?
Still, that's kind of rough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's kind of... That's going to be interesting motherhood. Yeah. Second mother, third mother. Oh, boy. So, patreon.com/cinemacrespity. So, if you go there right now, today, as of today, there are already 3 episodes there for people to listen to. There's the spoiler bonus episode on Venom, the spoiler episode on Mandy, and the spoiler episode on A Star Is Born. We already did our spoiler-free reviews during the box office recap, but if you want to hear all the spoilery details...
All the deets. If you want to be spoiled.
If you want to be spoiled...
Spoil yourself.
Or if you want to hear us really do the deep dive and really either crap on these movies or really love on these movies, that's where you can hear that. We'll also put the Crespediso Film Schools there. Pretty much anything that takes work, like research, that's all going to go there. It's going to be a minimum of 4 episodes per month. And the all-important question, how much does it cost to get in on this? It's
$22 bucket of chicken.
$22 and a bucket of chicken per episode. So if you want to listen to the Venom episode, it's $22, and you guys send me a bucket of chicken. If you also want to listen to the Star Is Born episode, that's another $22 and another bucket of chicken. 8-piece minimum, 2 of each piece. Don't you dare give me a bucket of 8 drumettes.
Yeah.
I'll kick you out of the group.
That's whack.
I'm doing a system, Curtis. Tiers. Patreon does tiers.
Right.
So I'm doing $1 to $5. Choose your own adventure. If we do 4 episodes a month and you think our episodes are worth a quarter each, pay $1 a month and you get access to all of our bonus episodes.
Right.
And then it goes all the way up to $5. I charge more than $5? I really didn't feel like coming up with more tier descriptions. So $1 to $5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Those are your options. 1 through 4, it's all the same thing. No matter what, you just get access to everything. If you pick the $5 option, then you'll have input into the bonus episodes that we do. So if you that's gonna be like 3 people that pay the $5 a month, they will be able to like send us emails, or we'll do polls, or we'll do something where we find out from them what do they want to hear, and then we'll super serve our $5 a month subscribers. Mm-hmm. Everyone else just gets access to everything.
Sounds great.
Blanket access. So there you go. Patreon.com/Crespediso. Very simple. I struggle with that one. Should have been Chris Crespo. Should have been Cinema Crespity. So I figured, let me take the hardest word associated with me and make that,
and make
word.
That one. Yeah.
Crespo Diso.
Crespo Diso.
Crespo wasn't available.
Nope.
So here we go. We need money, Kurt.
Why not?
I need money.
We need money. We need the money. Mm-hmm. We need money. You're on the verge of leaving us. I need to pay him something. I need to give him something.
So, anything.
Anything. Even
more. Even a bucket of chicken.
Even a bucket of chicken. Would you take a bucket of slop?
No.
Well, it's like a club, and any club has dues.
Gotta pay the dues, gotta pay the piper. Yeah, and then who knows, down the road, maybe we will add stuff and little items and dumb things like that. But there we go. We sold that, we need monies. Patreon.com/Crespity. So new stickers of coming soon. That's for everyone.
On the way.
They're gonna get a new sticker. That's free for everyone. Alright, welcome back to the second half of the show.
Oh, back to the second half again?
The letter I'm tasting with the letter I'm tasting movie review. Today I'm reviewing A Star Is Born, starring Jada Pinkett Smith and Osama bin Laden. So first of all, these two gay lovers, and by gay, I just mean stupid because I'm so sick of seeing love scenes, but they're actually heterosexual. These two gay-ass heterosexual people meet. One is a famous male country singer with a thick throat and big old man hands, you know, and them eyeballs that just make you know them, that low hangers is hiding in them jeans, please. So then Lindsay Lohan walk in with her blonde ass wig and says, I am here to steal these children, please. And she gets punched in the face. He says, I like what you're doing. I think you could be a star. So she gets up and sings, love game, love game, let me love game, let me love game if you want fame. And he goes, oh my God, I'm an alcoholic. He dies. And at the end, she sings a song that was written by Kelly Clarkson. This has been Letter Up Testing Review of A Star Is Born. Remember, movies are my life. Nyala.
All right, let's take a quick break. People can check out this review of A Star Is Born from Lady Raptastic. And then we'll be back with the second half of the show. We got movie news, we have emails. Then I have a huge announcement, a gigantic announcement. People, this is going to blow your mind. It has to do with the bonus episode. So stay tuned for that right after the break.
So, Chris, this week, I just want to remind everybody to take opportunities when they're given. Every once in a while, you'll be given an opportunity, and don't squander it. Just take it and see what happens. I mean, it could be great, it could be bad. Who knows? Opportunities are fun. Cogburn out.
All right, Dr. Drew here with your 2 cents for the week. He's letting you know what you need to do, how you need to handle your life with your prescription for life. Thank you so much, Dr. Drew. New movies come out in theaters. Go.
In theaters this week, we've got Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween.
Can you believe that Jack Black, now he's like found a new career as a star of family films?
Like Stein for
dude, stuff. He's turning. Yeah. He's the white Ice Cube.
He's the white Ice Cube. Yeah, because Ice Cube has the whole "Are We There Yet" series. Even turned into a TV show. You got the Gulliver's Island movie that they did a few years back. You get Goosebumps now one and two. Just came out with A House with the clock in its walls. He's all about like being your go-to guy for these kids' family movies.
Go-to funny guy for the family.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah,
as long as he gets to do some fake hand trumpet, that kind of stuff.
Yep. Know?
At least once.
And every once in a while, I'll throw him a guitar so we can rock out.
At least once. Jared Hess and Jack Black want to do Nacho Libre 2.
Oh, okay. Well, the Nacho Libre one was all right.
I liked it.
It was okay.
I thought it was good.
I want to see him continue to work. I like Jack Black.
I like him, too. I think
he should be
good.
Working.
He also seems like a nice fellow. Like, the few interviews I've seen him in, not like True Hollywood or whatever, like E! Network, but like podcast type stuff where people can be a little more relaxed, more normal.
Yeah.
He seems like just an interesting, normal dude.
Yeah.
And then he did an episode of did an episode of Getting Doug with High. Doug Benson's a stoner comedian,
sure.
Right? And he has a video series, a web series, and now it's like blown up on the Pluto TV app. It's on all the time.
I have Pluto TV.
You have that?
Yeah.
This show, Getting Doug with High, is on two separate channels, like 24/7. It's ridiculous. And it's just him sitting at a table, littered with marijuana paraphernalia, and him sitting with guests, and they just get high
and
talk for like 45 minutes. Jack Black did an episode, which you can probably find it online.
It got weird.
About 30 minutes in, Jack Black, he's just in his swivel chair, swiveling back and forth, not really talking, being weird. And then he looks off camera, and he just says, like, strawberries.
It's his safe word.
Strawberries. He just starts yelling his safe word, strawberries. And Doug Benson's like, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And what happened was Jack Black was freaking out from being too high because he hadn't smoked in forever.
Right, he got paranoid.
He was getting paranoid. And they're in California, so they had all the best stuff. And his wife was with him. And he was telling his wife off camera, if I say strawberries, come get me, I'm freaking out. So he was like signaling to his wife. And then when they came back and he was like, maybe they gave him some juice. He was like,
well, they probably let like an hour go by.
They chilled for a minute.
Calm down.
No, they do it live.
Oh, okay.
They do it live.
Oh, it's a live show.
It's a live show on the internet that they then just replay on TV and on apps and stuff. Yeah, so I don't know if they could have taken that long of a break, but he came back and it was okay.
Speaking of Jack Black, I thought he did a remarkable performance in that movie with Shirley MacLaine called Bernie or whatever.
So good!
Yeah.
Such a great movie. Shirley MacLaine was great, too.
Yeah.
And who was the cop? Was it... Who was the investigating... Cop. The guy doing the investigations.
Oh, I know. I can't remember.
It wasn't Woody Harrelson, right? No, Matthew McConaughey. There you go. And he was a Texan. It's Matthew McConaughey.
Okay.
Right? He was
the... Yeah, the whole town liked him, and they didn't want him to get arrested. And...
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
But he did such a good... Nice guy.
And she was such a bitch.
I forgot that he was so Jack good. Black yeah. during that movie.
The way he was Bernie. He was that Bernie
and
character.
That's what, to me, is a great actor.
Yeah, he did really good. I like Jack Black quite a bit. So Goosebumps 2, that's for the fams. That's for our Crespedito families to check out.
Also coming out this weekend, Ryan Gosling in First Man.
Yes, First Man, the story of Neil Armstrong being an astronaut. Although, I gotta say, stay away from the trailer. Spoiler alert.
They show
him landing on the moon.
Yeah.
Come on, they spoil everything. He's walking out of the capsule. He's like, he's standing there on the moon. Like, come on.
All joking aside, you really have to have a good story in one of these kind of movies where we know how it turns out.
You know,
there's got to be something. Because what are you trying to sell us? We already know what's gone on here.
Where is the tension going
to
be?
Well, no, I mean, this is about specifically Neil Armstrong. Like, this is, I mean, yes, it has a lot to do with the moon landing and how all that went down, but this is focused on him.
How it affected him and his family.
His family, how he dealt with it.
The trailer also makes it seem like they're going to focus a lot on the inherent dangers of it. They're really going to be like, this is the...
Well, they didn't know what was going to happen.
Well, no, they didn't know anything. They were starting from fucking scratch.
They didn't know what was going on, so it was very scary. A lot of deaths. A lot
of Yuri Gagarin had already come... The Soviet had already come back.
They were trying to catch up.
Alive.
Yeah.
So they were...
They knew it was possible.
They knew it was possible, but they didn't know.
Yeah. But that point, too, by Neil Armstrong, they had already done the... Gus Griffin and John Glenn. Yeah,
the Mercury stuff.
Yeah, the Mercury team. Right. The first, the right stuff. All that crap.
Right.
So, this is beyond that, but still scary stuff. They're like, we have the power of a calculator, of a 1960s calculator. We're going to use that to flatten the moon. That's crazy.
Let's extrapolate with that.
So it looks like it'll still be good. What else we got?
Also coming out, I know you're going to be swooning over this one, Chris.
Yes.
Beautiful Boy, starring Timothy Chalamet.
And Steve Carell, they played this trailer in front of something.
Maura Tierney.
I love Maura Tierney. She's fantastic. They played the trailer for this, I think, in front of Searching. And when I saw that a couple weeks ago, and it's about Timothée Chalamet. It's like an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid who, he's hooked on them drugs, man. He's
struggling with addiction.
He's all strung out. He's doing bad. Steve Carell plays his dad, trying to, you know, bring him back. And it's all based on a memoir, of a father-son memoir, like a real experience. And the trailer was like an intense trailer. A lot of screaming and crying and, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm looking for my son and all this stuff. It's a very emotional trailer, so I'm sure the movie itself is going to be pulling on them heartstrings.
Yeah. You know what I mean? They sound like entrees, though, like a restaurant thing. I'll have the tiramisu with the 1956 Chalamet.
Yes.
You know.
The delicious Chalamet. Yeah. It's so good. It's peach flavored. What else we got?
Mango.
And last but certainly not least, Drew Goddard's Bad Time at the El Royale.
Bad Time at the El Royale.
Bad Times.
Bad Times, multiple times. There's more than one time. It's multiple bad times.
You've recommended that I see this.
Yes, it looks crazy as shit.
I recommend that you check out the trailer.
Right.
It looks wild. John Hamm is in it. I wonder if John Hamm will come up in the second half of the show. Probably not.
Clint Eastwood. We'll see.
Clint Eastwood. What does Clint Eastwood have to do with John? Jeff Bridges is in it. Who else is in it? Chris Hemsworth.
Dakota Johnson.
Right.
Dakota Johnson from 50 Shades of Grey.
Chris.
Also from Don and Melanie Griffith.
Yep.
Is that right? No.
Melanie Griffith?
Don Johnson?
Don Johnson. Yeah.
And Melanie Griffith? Or
yeah, they were a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that dude's Dakota Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get my Hollywood couples right.
Yep.
I take pride in that. I got to make sure you get older.
Oh, Nick Offerman's also in this movie.
I like him.
Nick Offerman's fantastic. Looks like a wild, crazy movie from the writer-director of Cabin in the Woods. So,
which is how Thor got into this movie. Because
that's how Thor got
Chris
it.
Hemsworth is Thor now. He is...
But he did Cabin in the Woods before he was Thor.
Exactly.
So they're friends.
Yes.
They're buddies.
And seriously, in retrospect, watching Cabin in the Woods... Probably Chris Hemsworth's second best movie.
Maybe. After Thor Ragnarok?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's a very good movie. Anything else come out in theaters?
No, that's it.
Right, so here we go. Bad Times at El Royale, Kurt. Check out that trailer. You may be interested in that movie. New movies come out on DVD. Eighth Grade.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, my son saw that, so gotta watch it.
Very good. It's very good, Kurt. You'll enjoy it quite a bit. Hotel Artemis is the one with Jodie Foster, where it's like a hotel for criminals.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to see that.
Yeah, so that's coming out. People can check that one out. Hotel Transylvania 3. This one's for the kids. For the families.
That Genndy Tartakovsky.
Maybe like the first two Hotel Transylvanians. I don't know why you wouldn't like the third one, you know? Skyscraper, Dwayne Johnson. It's a Die Hard in a building.
And it's also PG.
It wasn't good. Not even that it wasn't good. It was forgettable.
It really was.
I saw the movie and I can't remember what happened in it, but like outside of the trailer that I saw it a couple times, you know? So not good. Not a good sign when you can't remember the movie. And it was only like 4 months ago that I saw it. A Joaquin Phoenix movie directed by Gus Van Sant. Don't worry, he won't get far on foot. Where he plays the guy, I think it's based on a true story. He plays the guy who gets into a car accident.
Is it quadriplegic, right?
What,
paraplegic, quadriplegic.
Maybe paraplegic, because he becomes an artist.
Yeah, and but he's stuck in a wheelchair.
And he becomes a successful artist, but he's stuck in a wheelchair. Hence the title. Don't worry, he won't get far on foot. So it wasn't that well reviewed, though. I wanted to see it, but then the reviews were like, man, that's what happens with Gus Van Sant movies, though. So there you go. New movies coming out in theater, which is what we do every time we wrap up the box office recap.
Chris, number one this week.
The number one movie of the weekend.
Making all the monies. Surprisingly enough, Venom. Venom. Made $80.03 million.
Suckers.
Holy fucking crap.
Hey, Eddie, we're going to make all the money this
They are. They made all the monies with a not very good movie at all. Like, hey, ooh.
Go ahead and pull up that Rotten Tomato. We're going to talk about Venom. Here's our spoiler-free review of Venom right now.
Spoiler-free review of Venom. It's 32%.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
On Rotten Tomatoes. But surprisingly enough, audience score, 89.
Yeah, audience are stupid. So, we went and saw Venom. And low expectations. As a matter of fact, Kurt, my expectations were so low. I was hoping for a movie that was entertainingly bad.
Yeah, I was looking for...
Pickup artist.
Exactly. Yes. Or the male version of Catwoman. Like, I was hoping this was going to be Tom Hardy's Catwoman.
Be where... so audacious and weird that I can't help but be entertained, right? You know?
Exactly.
But no.
That's not what we got. Yes. Instead, we got an hour of Eddie Brock backstory that didn't matter at all, and then 40 minutes of hurried, heavily edited Venom.
Apparently, Tom Hardy says that like 40 minutes of this movie got cut out of him doing Venom stuff, and you can tell because
you can tell where
like things feel rushed. The connections don't make any sense. It's like the opposite of A Star Is Born, where they make sure they take the time to make all the characters, their relationships, they flesh them out and make sure you understand what's going on. This one,
they
all
just of a sudden, throw people
like,
together.
Like, I like you. Okay, now everybody is.
It's like, what? It's really strange.
It's really weird. There is good humor in the movie. I do like the Venom character, the symbiote character, the alien that's like infesting this dude and is taking him over and speaks to him in his head.
Right.
I like the back and forth that they have, the banter. He cracks jokes. I like that he's cracking that, jokes.
I mean, even the action wasn't piss poor.
The action wasn't terrible, but this wasn't that great.
It could have been a lot better.
It's just, the movie just could have been so much better. And instead, it was mostly boring. And that's bad. It just don't be boring. You know what though, I was weird though? So the movie trailers come out. They've been playing the trailers a lot. Tom Hardy likes to do weird voices for all his characters. For this one, he was doing some crazy American accent that he couldn't...
Like high-pitched Jersey.
High-pitched Jersey was really weird. Like, what is this guy doing? Everyone was making fun of the voice on the interwebs, right? The movie comes out, it's a different voice. They redubbed this dude. He went back and redid all of his dialogue with a different accent, obviously, because he sounds different in the movie than he does in the trailer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they do this, but if I was a big motion picture company, you know, studio...
How would look up the budget, Drew?
$100 million.
I would probably release the movie for a month in just a small area of the country, and then get everybody's reviews like you guys are doing.
Yeah.
And then go back and change it. Where everyone decides is the weak thing.
Well, they do test screenings for movies, so that's part of the thing. They show up at a random theater at a random mall and tell people you want to see a movie for free, and then when they sit down in the theater, oh, by the way, this is Venom, and then they show them the movie
right
to get their reviews. The problem with that now is the internet. Mm-hmm. What word will get out? Oh, they're test screening Venom in these cities.
If it goes back and it gets...
But then word will get out, oh, this is what the movie is like, and then when the new version comes out, oh, they changed this, they changed that.
People go to see it.
I just think you can get away with a lot less thanks to the internet these days. You know, you got to be more. Yeah, it's harder to keep that under wraps. You got to do the test screening route. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, nothing wrong with fine tuning a movie and making it right. And this movie could have used a lot more fine tuning. Mm-hmm. A lot more fine tuning.
$100 million, Drew.
Yes, $100 million.
But it made how much opening weekend?
80.
it's gonna be profitable. It's worldwide, it's already at over $200 million.
Oh.
Beating projections. They were thinking it was going to make like 60 in America, 150 worldwide, 80 in America, 200 worldwide. Doesn't even count China yet. So Venom's a hit. Drusa Cogburn, Venom 2, distinct possibility.
It don't, could, seriously?
Could very well happen.
I don't think it's going to. The way that Tom Hardy's been promoting this movie, I think he may be soured on everything. I mean,
They bring in a new Eddie Brock. He's gone. They bring in a new Eddie Brock.
They filmed Topher Grace's gone. Rated R horror movie, yeah, Venom. Did. That's what they filmed.
And then they cut it down to PG-13.
In the editing room. So...
Well, we'll see. We'll see what they do with that footage. But they have all this footage that it's gone. They made a PG-13 movie. It sucks. It made a ton of money.
Mm-hmm. So be it.
Venom 2. It's going to happen.
Number 2 this week.
Number 2 movie.
A Star is Born.
All right.
Made half the Venom money. It's $41.25
million. $42 million opening weekend for A Star is Born. It beats projections for that as well.
Right.
And many other weekends, $40 million would be the number one movie of the weekend.
Yeah.
Wow. It would be.
But we're in October now.
Going up against Venom, it's the number two movie. Venom at $80 million is the biggest opening weekend ever for October movies.
Really?
Yeah.
It's definitely not the best movie ever to be released in October.
No, not even close. But
Money-wise. Sucker born every minute.
Mm-hmm. Gravity opened to about $55 million a couple years ago. So that was the biggest one. This one beat that at 80. So 41, that's up there with some of the biggest opening weekends for October. This is a big opening weekend for A Star is Born. A big deal. And the movie only cost $35 million, I think.
It's a big movie, Chris.
It made its way back.
And it is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, 91%.
The opposite of Venom.
Yeah.
Well-reviewed. We saw it. Here is our spoiler-free review, Curtis.
It's good.
It's good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's good movie. Surprisingly good.
It's like well made, well told, good story, solid, simple story. Simple.
Well acted. Mm-hmm. The music is top notch.
Yep. It's good music.
They've updated the story for the characters and the, you know, the world that we live in nowadays.
There's cell phones in it. Yeah. But I was told that Bradley Cooper liked learning guitar for the part. And
I'm sure it was.
And he's really singing in
he
this.
He does.
And he wrote 3 of the songs on the soundtrack.
Yeah, he
and
did a lot. It's his project.
He directed it.
That's major.
It's his project.
And he fucking killed it.
He wanted to do it for years, and for a while he tried to get someone else to be in the lead role, but he couldn't put all the pieces together, and then finally, and people were like, you should do it. And he was like, I don't feel like I have the experience. I don't feel like I'm weathered enough to do this.
Right, he was babyface a couple of years
ago. He finally got to an age where he was looking at himself in the mirror. He's like, you know what? I think I have the experience now that I can pull from to do this character, make it believable, and that he's a weathered old rock star.
Yeah.
Towards the end of his career, finding the new young performer who then blows up and becomes bigger than he ever was.
Yeah.
It's good, man. Good it's acting. Really good. Like Jackson Drew said, Lee. It all. It's all good. It looks great. Unlike Venom, I was never really bored.
No, not at one point in time.
I was into the movie. I was into every scene. I wanted to see where every scene was playing out.
Curtis, Andrew Dice Clay is in this movie.
As the Lady Gaga's character's father.
And kills it.
He's good.
Oddly enough.
He's really good.
Oddly enough, he has had some, good screen time. He's done some good things on the screen.
Yeah.
When he does a serious role.
Yeah.
Or something that he's done. I mean,
he has.
He's got potential.
He's got chops.
He's been sticking around for a reason. Because he does have the potential. He does have some sort of it factor that makes him compelling in some way.
Right.
And then he turns around and he makes like a brain smasher.
Yeah.
Or Adventures of Ford Fairlane. You're like, what?
Yeah.
What is this? But then when you use them like this, and this movie is actually quite good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good in it. It's a solid movie. Of all the movies that have been coming out towards the end of the year, it was one of the ones that I really wasn't necessarily looking forward to. It wasn't really on my radar for I think this is something that's going to be big and special and good. But I'm glad I saw it.
And wow. Is it ever?
I'm glad.
It is all those things. It is big, it is special, it is good.
And I think when we'll be talking about this when the Oscars come around, it'll be one of those ones that's nominated for certain things, maybe Best Picture,
Best Director,
Best
Song, definitely.
Music, it'll be nominated for music, it'll be that, and whatever Pixar movie comes out at the end of the year, it'll be battling for Best Song, or Disney, whatever, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's good. It's really good stuff. So, A Star is Born, Kurt, definitely, I would recommend you check that one out.
All right, we'll do.
Yeah, I think you'll like it quite a bit.
Planning to see it actually this week.
There you go. Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it for sure. It's a little long, but the reason it's a little long is because they
flesh out the story.
They flesh out the story to make sure you know who all the characters are and why they're doing the things that they're doing. Sam Elliott's in it talking like this. He's great. And
steak, it's what's for dinner.
Yeah, exactly. And there's like 30 minutes of music in this movie. There's a lot of music.
It's so good music, too.
Fortunately, it's good.
Number three this week.
Number three movie.
Smallfoot. Made $14.9 million, total of 42.
Animated movie for the kids. About
big feet, foot people.
Yeah, essentially yetis. They're really yetis. Yeah. Because they're snow yep. Abominable snowmen is what they are.
Himalayan snow beasts.
Yeah, exactly. Is the non-skunk apes is what they are. But then the people are the small feet. And Common's in it. And Common can't speak without sound like he's doing slam poetry.
You really can. Number four this week.
Let's listen to any of his interviews and it's like, is he doing...
Yes,
this is pre-written.
He's just rapping everything.
He is, yeah, slow rap.
Number four this week, Night School, made $12.275
million. Tiffany Haddish, Kevin Hart.
Total 46.
My parents went and saw this, like, opening weekend, apparently. And they thought it was okay. So that's your Chris's mom and dad review.
I was going to say, Night School. Does it run in the family? Do you trust their abilities?
No, I don't. I also don't give them any shit for movies. If they like a movie and say it's good, I'm like, okay, good, cool, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad then that you enjoyed that. Right. As opposed to me, where I was like wanting to tear my eyes out the whole time I was watching something. and then I have to, when I recommend movies to them, I have to think about it. Like, is this one that they're going to like?
Yeah, exactly.
And half the time I'm like, they're not going to like this one.
It's like when I think about movies for Elijah. It's like, you know what? That movie was a piece of you'll love it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No. Elijah will love Skyscraper.
Oh God, yeah.
He'll buy it on Blu-ray.
Dude, he might even really like Venom.
He might even really like Venom.
Dwayne Johnson. He's cranking out these.
Cranks them out.
These action movies like a Jelly of the Month Club.
He does.
Like every month or two.
Yeah. It's wild. Well, but he
it's really wild.
Even he knows the hits and the misses. He was like, Jumanji. He was like, surprisingly enough, holy crap. You know, like almost a $1 billion movie.
Yeah, so much money.
Oh, and then he's like, but I also made Rampage. So
Rampage made okay money. Skyscraper is the one that didn't make that much money.
But he
knows quality wise which ones are better.
Exactly.
He's doing a Fast and Furious spinoff movie.
He knows what he's doing. He's not only that, he's also doing that what's the Disney movie? The something adventure based on the ride.
Jungle Cruise. With Emily Blunt.
Which looks like Disney's Jumanji.
Pretty much. It's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
And it's going to be huge and make a ton of money, and he's going to make Jungle Cruise too.
Yeah, yes.
He's making so much money. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He's got a family to support now.
Yeah, he's got to feed his family. He's got kids to feed.
He's got to feed himself. Have you seen the Instagrams of his Sunday night cheat meals?
No.
Oh my God. That motherfucker eats like an entire tuna's worth of sushi.
Yeah.
Like the whole fish.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, he eats like a stack of like protein filled pancakes.
Oh my God, that sounds horrible.
That is ridiculous.
I don't want to see his Sunday night cheat meals. I want to see his Monday morning cheat dukes.
Mm.
That's what's really impressive. When he poops so much that he's sitting on the pile of poop because it's
pushed
out of the toilet.
I'm glad you said it.
Someone's
going to go there.
Hey, someone's got to talk about poop in podcast.
Number five this week, Chris.
And Chris Benicio will be the poop show.
The House with the Clocks in Its Walls made $7.2 million, total of 55. I wonder if we'll be mentioning Jack Black later in this episode.
Yeah, we should, probably not. So let's talk about Jack Black right now. He's pretty great. This movie, I think it's okay review. It's something like the 60th percentile.
It's a middling movie. It's 67%.
There you go. Directed by
Mandy.
That's right, we saw Mandy.
We know it made at least, what, $30?
It made at least $30. No, it made more than that because we 45? Were in a theater full of people.
So, like, maybe a couple thousand.
It made a couple thousand dollars, but at the end, we saw Mandy starring Nicolas Cage, Andrea Riseborough, and Linus Roach.
And a lot of,
weirdness.
A lot of LSD.
Oh my God.
Yes, well, some sort of very mind-altering hallucinogen, definitely.
Some sort of doctored up, ginned up LSD.
Lots of smoke, neon colors, and grungy psychedelic metal.
Man, this is like a heavy metal version without the music, though.
Yeah.
A heavy metal version of Clive Barker's Hellraiser.
Okay.
Yeah.
But double the acid.
Double the acid, half the hell.
Half the hell, but
maybe
Nick Cage.
so much Nick Cage. So much Nick Cage. Like, ah, freaking out Nick Cage.
Nick Cage covered in blood. Nick Cage high on drugs.
Nick Cage wide-eyed.
Nick Cage
huge weapons.
With a fucking chrome battle axe.
Oh my God.
Man, yes, he's like, oh, crazy evil. Man, what a wild, wild movie. All right, so it's like an hour and 50 minutes.
The first hour is...
First 50 minutes to an
is
hour.
Is very much a Panos Cosmatos movie.
Panos Cosmatos makes slow films.
It is,
so you do admit that.
It is. Okay. The first hour is...
Takes its time. It takes its
sweet time. Very slow, but very pretty.
Mm-hmm. Very gorgeous.
I cannot stress... The slowness of the first hour.
Right.
Yeah, because it's like he lives in the woods with his wife, and it's just the two of them, and she's like reading passages from a book, and they're talking about their favorite planets.
But the
music's like...
But on the opposite end of that spectrum, the second it happens, and you'll know when it happens.
Yeah, when the shit hits the fan.
The second this shit hits the fan, it fucking hits that fan at full force, and yeah. It just... blasts through the last hour of the movie. It is...
It's wild.
You need seatbelts.
Yes.
Because you're going on a ride.
Yeah.
with as slow and deliberate as the first hour is, it is equally crazy and chaotic for the second half.
To the point there, when it does slow down for a few minutes, like when he sees the chemist.
It is like, whoa!
It's like, okay, good, we can take a minute to relax. And even the cage, he's
not
just like...
for a second.
He's just breathing. Like, like, oh my God.
You could try to make a crazier movie, but you would fail.
For the second half,
yeah. You cannot match the intensity.
Man, it's like peak Cage.
Yeah.
Great soundtrack. Johan Johansson, who died shortly after making the soundtrack. He was like in his 50s, mid-50s, so wow. Pretty young when he died. Yeah. And so great soundtrack, fantastic performances. It goes to weird places, metaphysical places.
Drug-induced places.
Shocking images that you wouldn't expect to see. And it's like, even though it's a pastiche of like other stuff, other influences, it's like, it adds up to a wholly original film.
Yeah, 100%.
Holy cow, I definitely recommend this thing to people,
The first hour is going to be rough, guys. I'm warning you.
I wouldn't necessarily call it rough. For some people, it's going to be slower than what people are expecting when it comes to, like, it's not mainstream.
No, not at all.
It's not a mainstream movie at any point whatsoever, is the thing. So, the guy wants to take his time.
Give him his time.
Give him his breathing space.
It works
because you're gonna need it.
Yeah,
when it gets wild.
Right.
Oh my
God. Boy, does it get wild. Seriously, Chris, the last hour of that movie might be the most fun I've had at the movies all year.
Yeah, it's like the most fun like 40-minute stretch, 30 minutes since I saw Mother.
Yeah.
You won't find much clergy at these. Movies.
No! Although, oddly enough, there is a very strong religious element to this movie.
You'll find a type of clergy. You'll find a sort of clergy.
Okay.
You will. Huh? You will. That's good.
Man, priest of the darkness.
Yes.
None sorts.
Children of the New Dawn.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's really good. I want to see it again. Like, I definitely can't wait to see it again.
Yeah.
It's really good. Mandy.
100%.
Highly recommended. And very well reviewed on the Rotten Tomatoes.
I hope it doesn't spoil anything. Can I just ask why Mandy? Why did they choose that as a character?
That's the name of the lady.
Name of the lady.
Andrea Riseborough's character is named Mandy.
Okay.
Things happen to her.
And then things happen. And then Nick Cage is like, I need to make an X. Mm-hmm. I need to make an X. Oh, man. Mandy's so good.
It was.
So
fantastic.
Good. What you watching, Drew?
Oh, I caught Mississippi Grind on
Ryan Gosling and the Bendelsohn.
The Bendelsohn and the Gosling.
They're doing like on a gambling.
No, not
tour?
The Gosling. The
Wrens.
The Wrens.
The Wrens.
Yeah, the Ryan Wrens.
The Wrens. The Ryan Wrens and the Bendelsohn. They're on like a gambling tour, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's basically one guy down on his luck. One guy who they randomly meet and kind of becomes his lucky charm, if you will.
Okay.
They go through some twists and some turns, and it's all about gambling and winning and losing, and it was just all right.
Oh, it was just all right.
There is a reason that this movie never made it to theaters, that it went straight to the streamings and the red boxes.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, it has some good points to it, but as a whole, as like a movie,
pretty slight.
I definitely understand that there were some gaping holes in the plot and some fast tracks in the editing and whatnot. So I get it.
Gaping holes. Are you sure you're not confused that with another movie?
Positive.
Okay. So that's what you're watching. You watched that this week.
Watch that this week.
Okay. Anything else? Video game wise, still playing Spider-Man.
No, I returned Spider-Man, and I haven't picked up Tomb Raider this week yet. So, so
just waiting for Red Dead Redemption.
Yep, that'll be out in about 3 weeks, and it's going to consume my life.
Curtis,
yeah,
what have you been watching? You've been watching anything? Or when I say what you're watching, not just watching, are you reading anything? Is there any music that that struck your fancy in the last recently, a few weeks or whatever?
Yeah, indeed. I'm reading a book called Fear, the new one by Bob Woodward about Trump.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very
really?
Good.
You would, I mean, that's like I'll just watch the news.
No, this is really good.
Yeah,
I mean, it talks about how it all got started.
Yeah.
With Bannon. And he's reading the New York Times, and he realizes that, you know, because at this point, Trump had received the Republican nomination. Yes. Nobody knew that was going to happen,
yeah.
So he's like, all right, well, he's got to beat Hillary Clinton. That shouldn't be so hard. But then the New York Times comes out with this big, you know, thing about how Trump, is failed, you know, doomed to fail. And
yeah.
Basically saying that, and he's reading this. He would, every Sunday morning, he would go to a park and read all these newspapers.
Yeah.
So he calls up the, you know, long story short, he calls up the people that are running Manafort and everything, running the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
And the spokesperson or the main contributor to the campaign said, this Manafort guy's not doing anything. He's a stiff. He doesn't know how to get things motivated. We need you, Bannon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he says, look, he's not going to want me. I don't know anything about, you know, campaigns and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Like, he's desperate.
Yeah.
And then they have this meeting, and at the meeting he brings, you know, Trump, it's supposed to be a private meeting, he brings Roger Ailes, Rudolph Giuliani, and Chris Christie. This is a page turner.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
You know?
So you can find out who all the inside dirt's
like,
on.
And I'm only like on page 18. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's crazy, you know?
Oh, my
it's crazy.
God. My blood pressure couldn't take that, man. It's so bad out there.
Yeah.
But good for Bob Woodward, doing the work, doing the legwork. He invited some people to dinner, apparently. And like, he got a bunch of dirt out of them because they're so stupid to be like, I'm going to sit down with dinner with Bob Woodward and not think any of this is
on the record. And he claims and he says that almost everybody that contributed in any way consented to being fully tape recorded.
Of course.
So it's not like he secretly taped them.
He's a professional.
So he has the tape recordings of all these people that were around them.
We're talking about Deep Throat and Watergate and all that
stuff. I know. Two times Pulitzer Prize winner.
Yes, he knows what he's doing for sure. He is as credible
as
it
gets. No missteps.
Yeah. So recommended then. Fear.
Yeah. And then I saw the documentary on the Cow Sills the other night. They were a band. They were like the Partridge Family.
Okay.
Only they were a real family band. The Partridge Family was
made
because of the Cow Sills. They just because the Cow Sills couldn't act, they went and got actors and did like the same thing.
Okay.
But it's about how their dad. You know, there was like 10 people in the family. They all played something by heart.
Yeah.
You know, and the dad was a raging alcoholic, ex-Navy guy that beat the hell out of him every night.
Oh my
Whenever
God.
There's a family band.
There's always
the dad's beating the hell out of them.
The Jacksons, right?
Even the Osmonds. Donny Osmond said when he was in Stockholm, he was 5-6 years old.
Yeah.
On tour with the brothers in the 70s or late 60s. And he just wanted to go home. So he was writing a letter to his mom saying, can you ask daddy to let me come home? And the father intercepted the letter.
Yeah.
And, you know, admonished him, and I don't know if he hit him or whatever, and made him feel like you're letting our whole family down.
Oh,
five.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like guilt trips and
that's messed up.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's like, well, the whole Michael Jackson thing.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Joe Jackson passed recently, and it's no tears shed for that one.
Mm-mm.
No.
Real bummer. What's the name of it? Do you remember the name of the documentary?
I think it was just called The Cow Sills. It's on, I believe it's on Netflix right
the
now.
The Cow Sills, S-I-L-L-S?
C-O-W-S-I-L-L-S.
Okay.
They had a couple of hits in the late 60s, early 70s with Flower Girl.
Mm-hmm.
I think they used that song in the Dumb and Dumber movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when Jim Carrey has his dream about Lauren.
Yeah, it's flashback sequence.
Yeah, it's dream sequence.
Yeah.
I love the flower girl.
So that's a Cow Sills song?
Yeah, all yeah.
Right, okay.
It's an interesting movie. That's so
very fun. All right, so you that's where you're getting now. That's what you're watching. Very cool. This week I'm not watching nothing new besides sort of movies that we saw that we'll talk about during the box office recap later.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother, I showed him a couple movies. I showed him Jodorowsky's Dune.
So good.
Because I love this movie right here. Curtis is one of my poster for it. It's a documentary that I love very much about an attempt to turn Dune into a movie in the 70s. And
but they did, though, didn't they?
David Lynch made one.
In the 80s.
This was in the early 80s. This was someone else, an Argentinian filmmaker, trying to make it in the 70s. And the team he put together to make it, when the movie fell apart, they went on to make all these other movies. And they took all the ideas and all the concepts, and they went on to make all these other films. The most famous example being Alien.
Yeah.
His special effects guy ended up being the writer for Alien. And a guy that they found to do some production design was H.R. Giger, who designed the Xenomorphs for Alien. You know, so it's crazy how much this movie never got made, but then all the other movies that did get made because it fell apart. Fantastic documentary.
I just remember the David Lynch Dune being the worst date movie you could ever
not
bring
a good,
your
not
girl
a good date movie. No. Yeah. Long sci-fi, not good date, no matter what.
I was in high school.
Not that it's not very good.
I think I was in high school, and a girl wanted to go because Sting was in it.
Yeah.
And she loved Sting. Sure. We went. And Sting's dealing with this guy with these boils coming out of his face.
Yeah.
And we're looking at each other like, let's get out.
Like, this is a gross movie. Yeah. And not good.
Not sexy. Certainly wasn't
no.
sexy.
Not sexy, no. Jodorowsky's Dune would have been much, much sexier. But also would have had Orson Welles in it. And Salvador Dali.
Yeah.
He had cast Salvador Dali, Orson Welles, Mick Jagger to be in this movie. It was
going to be wild.
It was going to be a wild movie. There's going to be a burning giraffe.
God.
Yeah. At Dali's request. Mm-hmm. Hardware is another movie that I showed my brother. It's a horror film from 1992. English director Richard Stanley. It's starring Dermot Mulroney. Dylan McDermott. Dolman Mulroney. One of those two.
All right.
And it's about it's like in the future, it's a wasteland future. Nuclear fallout has destroyed everything pretty much. That cities are still like, you know, a thing. Iggy Pop is on the radio, he's the DJ. And this dude finds like a skull out in the desert. He sells it to a scrapper. McDermott, Mulroney, whatever he is, he takes the skull, gives it to his girlfriend, who's a artist making metal sculptures. She uses the skull as a centerpiece of a metal sculpture. It turns out the skull is part of like some sort of military weapon, and it has all the software inside the skull, so it uses the metal contraption that it's attached to like turn into a killer robot. Yeah. And then it terrorizes this woman inside her apartment and tries to kill her. People try to save her, they get killed. It's a wild, wild little movie.
Wow.
It's really good, and it's like almost 30 years old. Hardware.
I had a good idea. I think I have a good idea for a movie.
Okay.
You know, there's been movies where people go out into space and then nuclear annihilation happens while they're up in space.
Yeah.
And then they don't, you know, basically a movie with that premise.
Okay.
But it's a top secret thing. So even like the whole world doesn't know about it. Just a bunch of top scientists.
Okay.
The government is doing this experiment.
Okay.
They send them up, a bunch of guys and gals, and, you know, something crazy goes on, the North Korean leader, whatever. You could just put any of today's headlines into it to make you know, everyone just goes nuts, starts, like, you know, when, like, you're in a shootout, and everyone starts shooting at everyone because they don't know, you know,
where?
Who's on their side. And what. No. So there's bombs going everywhere.
Okay.
This information, all of a sudden, they lose contact with the people down below. Now, at the North Pole or wherever, the Arctic, I should say.
Okay, okay.
They know that they can return there safely. Half of the people, there's like 16 people in this shuttle thing.
Okay.
Half of them don't want to go back. They're like, let's just try something. What are we going back to? I mean, it's totally nuclear fallout. The other half wins. They go back down there.
Uh-huh.
They land safely where they're supposed to land.
Okay.
But now nobody knows they're up there. Do they stay where they're at? Do they start venturing down to see what has gone?
So what happens to the world while they're gone?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes. We could have a brain.
That is actually the stuff of Planet of the Apes. That's true. Astronauts show up. What happened to this planet? It's Planet of the Apes.
Shit.
You didn't just do the stuff of Planet of the Apes. All we're doing is fleshing out the stuff of Planet of the Apes. Which is fine.
I thought it was
amateurs
to
create
be true.
Amateurs create professional steel. So we're going to flesh it out. We are going to explore all of that. And then it shows up and it's not Planet of the Apes. It's Planet of something else. What we'll do is I'll cut out this section of the podcast, we'll put it in an envelope, and we'll
mail it to ourselves.
I'll mail it to you. Don't open the envelope. That's copyright. How I have the copyright on it. So,
okay.
So no
okay.
one steals our idea.
All right, very good.
That's a fun idea. That's a good one. It's such a good idea. They turned into Planet of the Apes. That's how good the idea was. it's fun. It's fun thinking of, yeah. What would happen? What would you do? I would venture. I'd have to find out. I'd venture.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to stay, especially if you're crashing the North Pole. It's too cold.
Yeah.
Come on, let's head on down to Mexico. Get some margaritas.
Especially
while stuck in outer space. Are there outer space margaritas in this world? Can I get...
No, there's not.
So I gotta go to Mexico.
Pleasure pills.
I'll fight through the nuclear apocalypse to give me some tequila. Some
Some nuclear fallout tequila.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll survive. It's in a bottle. It's sealed. All right. There you go. That's a great idea, Chris. Good idea. All right. Hey, so episode 300, big deal, guys. I'm looking forward to doing this with you.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
I can't wait.
It's going to be awesome. We should definitely... We should definitely go ahead and start the show. But joining us, returning guest, so happy to have him here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the man himself.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Well, I like master of time, space, and dimension.
Sorry, master of time, space, and dimension.
Curtis!
Yeah! Yeah!
How you doing, Curtis?
Thank you very much. I am glad to be here. Episode 300.
Yeah, oh, dude, man. Thanks.
Can't wait to do this.
Thanks for showing up.
We did it. We have a whole episode in front of us. We're going to talk about so many movies to review.
I am not looking forward to our trivia off. You have a winning record against me, but it's not...
Drew has been shaking in his boots all week regarding trivia, so we'll see if he has what it takes to beat you.
Well, the odds are on my side.
The odds are on your side, 100%.
I don't want to psych you out.
Yeah, no.
But I brought a little gift for you guys, too.
Did you?
I did.
So we'll get
a musical gift.
Oh,
very nice. I can't wait to hear it.
I love
for episode 300.
For 300, I love when you bring music.
Looking forward to it.
Tell you what, we'll listen to it at the beginning of the second half of the show.
All right.
After I make our huge announcement about what we're going to do with bonus episodes. If you want to hear us do bonus episodes, and if you want to hear me talk shit about stuff, you're going to have to find out what we're talking about in the second half of the show. But first, we have the threat update. Current threat level is turquoise. Current threat level is turquoise. Prepare to scrutinize your questions. Drew Secogran, how you doing, co-host Drew Secogran?
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
How you doing,
Another
sir?
Week, we're here.
Another week, we're 300 up.
Kapow! Maybe another 300 down later? I don't know. It's a lot. That's a long time. Maybe not. Maybe not.
You know what? Let's just break off another hundo right now.
Sounds good.
Okay, here we go. I am your host, Chris Crespo. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Cinema Crespediso. Welcome to the show. Yeah, Cinema Crespediso. We are here.
Is this the celebrity?